I'm an addict named Marcus. Thank you, Sherrod. Thank you, Donna. She did a great job. I'm kind of glad this thing's not working. I don't know if everybody can hear me, but that's like weird to me. My daughter says I say a lot. I'm grateful to be here. I want to thank Kenneth for asking me to do this meeting. It's so humbling, you know, to be asked to share something, somebody to see something in you that maybe you have something to do. I was looking last night, I stood up to stretch and I saw all these people and I said, man, he picked me to come share a meeting, right? And then when I got here at 8:30 this morning, there were no cars in the parking lot. And I said, shit, nobody else wanted this spot. Set me up. Okay, so you know, I go back and forth from being very confident to full of self-doubt. That's what I suffer from. When I first got this topic, I don't need this thing. When I first received this topic, I was like, why that? I was just like, seriously, like, why this? I ain't lonely. I used to be a loner, but I like being alone. You know, I live with three females. When they leave, I just get my underwear and eat ice cream. So, you know, and I got control of the TV. And, you know, and if I run out of stuff to do, my wife's got a list of stuff for me to do. So, but that's different. You know what I mean? So I started in this endeavor to try to come up with something that would be like scholarly, because I knew I was going to be at a podium in front of a bunch of people. You know, I've shared a lot of meetings in my time. So, you know, I can do a meeting. I just tell my story, right? But I felt like maybe this was a little bit different. So I started thinking about it, and it was driving me crazy. I was using the dictionary and everything. It said, loneliness dash, where is God in the mix? I looked up what is a dash in punctuation, and it said it is the most diverse piece of punctuation. It could be a comma, it could be a parenthesis, it could be this, and it could be this. So I was like, I don't even know if it separates those two thoughts. How does this relate to this? So I was going crazy in my mind, right? And when I do that, I just try to pray and settle down and look, you know that the answer will come to me. And then just like most things in my recovery, I was riding with my sponsor a couple weeks ago and I asked him about it. And he said, shit, like he always does. You just need to share about that. And he told me what to talk about. Just like he always tells me my anniversary, just be honest. Just tell the truth. Just go up there and talk about yourself. So, and I was like, I ain't talking about that. Why would I want to talk about that in front of all these people? I got my group of people that know all about my stuff. You know, I'm going to be in front of a bunch of strangers. So the more I thought about it, the more I understood that I believe that this meeting had to relate to my life, not what my position on loneliness was, right? When I heard what the theme of this convention was, I was just like, wow, a spiritual journey. And I was so grateful to the committee for making that title, because they put spiritual out there, right? They asked me to talk about something that had to do with God, and I was just like, wow, like, that blew me away. I remember a couple years ago at my anniversary, I asked my sponsor, could I just talk about God the whole time? I really ain't even trying to talk about me. I just want to talk about love and God, because that's what it's all about as far as I'm concerned. And so I feel like I can talk about it, you know. Loneliness really, for me, is like, I started to think it was like a state of mind, right? I started to think, well, is it like depression? Is it like addiction? Is it like some kind of illness? Is it this? Is it this and this? And what I came up with in my mind was, it was this feeling where you, where I just always needed something, right? What's the difference between that and drugs? Just always need something to change the way that I feel, right? Walk around like a zombie, thinking the same thoughts over and over again. Loneliness, right? Just like completely lonely. Go to a meeting where you don't know nobody. You sit there, you listen, you get up, you say, is anybody going to say hello to me? They don't, you leave. And you feel like shit. Me. I'm talking about me. That's my experience, right? You know, it's like stupid is as stupid does. Lonely is lonely does. Right? So I always was a loner. My father died when I was 10 years old. My brother and my sister went off to college, and my mom worked a lot. So I was alone. And it allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do. And unfortunately, I didn't do all the right things. And it led me down a path to isolation, which is a kind of loneliness, right? And my life became full when I got to the program, because I had to make a choice whether I was going to continue to be the way that I was, a know-it-all, by myself, with no real relationships, or was I going to be part of something? And I became part of a group, you know? Like most people's code, you know, you don't tell anybody anything about yourself, how you feel, where you go, what you're doing, watch your back, all that kind of stuff. And following some of the principles around here and the suggestions, those walls started to break down. They really started to break down, and I started to feel like I was part of something. I was highly skeptical, just like I was highly skeptical of school. I was highly skeptical of church. I thought my parents, my mother was dumb, you know, because she couldn't, you know, make ends meet, you know. And I went off on this journey on my own to try to settle my own problems and become successful. And I thought that, you know, if you could just make enough money that you would be successful. And I got everything that I ever wanted. And I was completely lost. I was miserable. I was always by myself. I ended up by myself. And it was just terrible. So being part of this group is something that was a big process. And I had to learn how to trust people and make friends and do all these things. And I've been paying close attention since I got here to people that are by themselves, right? I've been watching people. If I see somebody sitting by themselves, I've been approaching them and saying, how you doing? What's your name? Where are you from? You know, when I was sitting back in the corner, somebody say that to me, I'd be like, what do you want? I'm cool. I got it like this. I'm just waiting on some people. You know what I mean? But I've met some of the greatest people, nice people, really, you know, friendly people. I was coming down the highway yesterday, and I seen this kid walking. He was up like 80th Street. And he had a yellow backpack on, and I beeped the horn. I said, get in. He was like, I said, I'm going down the road. He said, come on, get in. So where are you from? Baltimore City. Where's your home group? I ain't got one. You got a sponsor? Kinda. Come with me. I want you to meet all my friends. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying that to say that this lifestyle has changed me from a closed off person to somebody who's a little bit more open. And, you know, on any given day, I'm a little more open than others based on my spiritual condition. Because, you know, I get a case of the FUs in a second. You know what I mean? I can go from thinking that this is the greatest place on earth and everybody is so nice to like, man, why am I even wasting my time? I was so relieved last night to hear that responsibility statement, because this is still a meeting, right? I can share about, get something off my chest, right?
So we went to lunch yesterday, and we started to sit down, and I said hello to the waitress, and she didn't really respond. So me being me, I said hello again, a little louder. And she didn't really say nothing. And I turned to my friend, and I said, she ain't very friendly. This girl got a problem. And my other friend said, no, I think she's just patient. Right? Yeah. Roderick said, I think she's just being... I said, okay, I'm going to leave her alone. And then when we were leaving, I said, how's it going? Because that's what I do. I get in people's space, don't I? Gerard, I get in your space, right? And people either respond or they run. That's fine with me. Because I want people to get in my space. I don't really, but that's what's helped me. So, right? Am I telling the truth? So she said, this is a tough crowd. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, them people that were sitting there when you got here, they just left without paying their bill.
Wow.
I said, wow. Yeah, and a lot of people don't even leave me a dollar.
Wow.
I said, forget these people. What am I doing here? I could be, you know, home cutting the grass. I don't need this. I got my friend. I got my home group. I got all this stuff, right? And then she said, my grandmother told me they're going to get a flat tire. I said, okay, she's cool with this. I don't need to save her. So I'm just saying that because, like, my spirit just said that, just to get that off my chest. And so the loneliness bit, man, it's just like I had experience when I got here with that because... My personal experience is this. Let me just get to what he told me to share about. My life was really, really full. I got more than I could have ever asked for in this process. And all kinds of hobbies, all kinds of friends, all kinds of chores. And I got down the road in my marriage, I don't know, 12 or 14 years. And my spouse told me that maybe she didn't want to be together no more. And I was really devastated because all that stuff really wasn't my idea. See, because I wasn't even going to live past 30, much less get married. You know me, why would I get married? You know, right? You know me? One woman? Kidding me? You know, but I followed some good orderly direction, and I made a good choice, right? Wasn't my choice. And then I thought, man, I'm going to lose all this. This is crazy. I got children at home. And I was so bad off that nothing could console me. Nothing could console me. I called my friends every single day. Man, I started praying 3 times a day. I went to church on Tuesday. They said, there's no service today. I said, I just need to go in there and pray. Please. I was desperate. I was right back to where I was down in D.C. or in Harlem or in the south side of Philly. Just totally by myself, focused. I need to do something. And you know all that stuff, the nevers came in, you know what I mean? Jails, institution, and death. You know, am I going to take care of me or am I going to take care of you? Because something's got to happen. And I didn't know how to deal with that. And I really did not know how to deal with that. I don't know if I was prepared or not. Thank God, thank my God of my understanding, that I had a good foundation and that I remembered. And I had some people telling me, try this, try this, try that. When the things I didn't try, I paid dearly for. They're laughing over there. They know. Okay? And the things that I did saved me. I started going back to meetings every day. I started going there to get the affection from people that I wasn't getting at home. Right? And I'm not talking about grabbing a girl's butt. I'm talking about holding on to somebody for an extra second. letting people know where I was at. So when they saw me the next time, they would say, how's that going? You know what I mean? You're going to be all right. I had a couple ladies say, listen, if she leaves you, we're cool. So I started. Okay. You're a good guy. I don't know what her problem is. I'm not even joking, right? I was like, wow, maybe I got options here. Okay? I'm just telling the truth. A lot of times people think I'm funny, but I just tell the truth. So, me and my girl, we're fine. We're cool. We are cool. My children love me. It's a struggle day to day, but it's one that I'm in, and I'm going to stay in because I made a commitment. So, the last part of that loneliness thing for me is, there's so many distractions, right? Can't even go to the bathroom without a cell phone nowadays, right? Can't even just breathe in there. Shit, I used to like to spend time in there, right? But I came down here, and a friend of mine, we were supposed to come together. He owns a beautiful 5-bedroom house. For whatever reason, he couldn't make it. He said, take the keys. Okay? I invited one of my sponsees to come stay with me. He said, I can't come to Saturday. So I come down here. I go in. I open it up. I check it out. Oh, and by the way, there's no Wi-Fi, and the TV don't work. I went out back, I built a fire, took a video of it, posted it, called a few people. You want to come by and see the fire? No, I'm going to sleep. Man, I need to download a movie. I just drank a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock. What am I going to do? So this is how this works for me. So I start Googling on my phone, right, because I got data that I share with 4 women, my mother, my 2 daughters, and my wife. And at the end of the month, it's getting sketchy. It's like, you know, it's like the welfare check running out or something. Everybody's freaked out. Don't eat that. So like, I start Googling, like, where's free Wi-Fi in Ocean City? McDonald's got Wi-Fi, 4 megabits a second. And then I find an online calculator. It's like a countdown calculator. Well, if I want to get this movie that's 4 megabytes and it's 4 kilobytes a minute, it's going to take an hour and a half if I go park outside of there to download the movie. But then I say it's going to be 2 o'clock in the morning and I got to watch a 2-hour movie, and then I'm supposed to meet these guys in the morning. And like, I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy. The guy who's okay being by himself. Because when I walk in, I turn on the TV. Right? Always got music blaring in the car. Always got somewhere to go, something to do, never a tough time in the day. So I was just like, what am I going to do? And I got my flat book out. And I said, I'm going to use some of that data. Because I paid for it. I'm going to download that movie because I'm going to watch it by the time I go home. Because my man told me that's a good movie. I don't care. I can afford it. $14.99 to download the movie, and I pay for that other data, so 4 megabytes of the 12 is mine. So I tether my phone. You know how to do that? You can tether your phone and this and that. And I'm in the flat book, man. And I'm... And I hear ding. The movie is done. And I'm like, hell no, I'm on a roll. Right? Right? Have you ever felt this? And like, I'm answering questions. Right? I'm fiending. I stayed up for like another hour doing that. When I closed the book, I felt so good. So my point is my suggestion, my experience is, if you're lonely, if you got the blinders on, just do some work. You're going to be all right. Just do something. You know what I mean? Going out with people, you know what I mean? Being somewhere sometime. That was my help this weekend. That's all I have to offer on that. So now we're going to go dash. Dash. And we're going to talk about, where is God in the mix? Because really, I'm excited about this. I was laying in the meeting over here the other day because my neck was hurting, and I was looking at the ceiling while the person was sharing because I was done taking their inventory. I'm serious, man.
And I just started thinking about, like, where is God in the mix? And it wasn't about what am I going to say about it, but where is God in the mix? Where is God in the mix? And I was just like, by the time I finished thinking, I was crying because I don't know where he's not. I don't know where he's not. So I want to go backwards real quick. And I'm not going to run. I don't think they'll even let me run this over anyway. So when I talk about God, I'm talking about my understanding of God to me. And it's mine. Okay? I developed it through working the step. And if you want to know the specifics, meet me in the hall and I'll tell you everything you want to know. But the most basic understanding of it, for I always try to be a little like politically correct in case somebody gets turned off. You know what I mean? It's like they told me, because I didn't want to hear about it. They said anywhere you read it, just put in good orderly direction. Where it says in the literature, because it works. I think they even took he out of it. I don't even think they say he no more. So it's just it now. So I had to get understanding of what that was first, right? Before I could even try to comprehend where it was. How do I know where it is, right? My friend always tells this story about nobody ever sat around the table getting high and held hands and said, let's invoke God, let's take a moment of silence, right? I don't think he made that up, but I'm going to give him credit for it because that's where I heard it. You know what I mean? And then I was thinking, like, there's two kinds of tables, right? When it's a holiday, we think about, in my family, who might not have nowhere to go? We got plenty. Back in the day, we weren't peeking out the window saying, maybe somebody out there ain't got none, let's invite them in. Right? Right? So you tell me where God is. Right? You tell me where God might be. That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying all this to say is that when I started in this process, I developed a basic understanding of a power greater than myself. And then I had to try to understand where it wasn't. I was always looking for it where it wasn't rather than where it was. I was always looking where it wasn't. You know what I mean? When I see the evil shit on TV and in my town and in my family, I always think, man, that's the opposite of God. That's some kind of evil. That's some kind of evil, awful, rotten shit. So I knew, because I used to go where God was not at. I knew that. I know. So before I could figure out where it was, I figured out where it wasn't. And I just kind of came to this conclusion a couple of days ago. I didn't really understand all this till I was forced to think about it. So now, when I walk around, I'm always looking for something, right? Because I don't know what somebody's going through. I don't know how smart somebody is. Listen, when this young lady sat down with her book, I said, oh, she's going to break out the notes. And I'm sorry that I said, why did I say ladies before gentlemen? Man, I should have went first and then I could just go throw up afterwards. She going, you know what I mean? I don't know. I really don't know. So, was that 5 minutes? There you go. So, for me, God started out about the shoulders. You know that little voice? Don't do this. Maybe you don't want to do that. It's the same as sitting around that table back in the day, because I pushed that out of my life a long time ago. I couldn't even hear that anymore. So then when I got back here, I developed a little bit of a conscience when I went to the store and they gave me $1.50 extra and I had to sit in the parking lot and say, am I going to go give this back? That's when my conscience developed. And that was God entering into my life. And thank God things like that have kind of become second nature to me now. Believe me, if they give me too much change, I'm probably going to keep it. You know,
But I remember, you know, I'm going to call my sponsor, and if we can agree to split it, we'll be cool. But I'm going to check his spiritual condition that day. So that's how it developed in my life. And you know what, man? I know that God is everywhere. I know that God is everywhere. And the more I become involved in this process, the more I can see it. You know what I'm saying? Like for real, man. I'm gonna probably cry again, but when tragedies happen and when that evil stuff happens, I still look for God in that. Because I'm not trying to say, like, that's just bad and this is good and I'm on the good side. Yeah. Right? You know, when best man in my wedding's daughter died, I don't know what the blessing is in that. I really don't know how to tell him. And he told me, I'm sick of people telling me she's in a better place. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. When my sponsor, I'm going to put you on blast. I'm sorry. Was telling me, man, I've been going to these meetings a long time. I'm kind of sick of these kids drinking this power drink and talking all this stuff and fighting and doing all this and that. I think I'm good. I might not be coming down there no more on Sundays because football's on. And then he runs off the road into a tree, loses his license and losing his job. Okay, I'm protecting his anonymity because I didn't say his name. And that's an awful thing. And he thinks it's the worst thing in the world. But you know what? He became at our mercy. Because we said, we're going to come pick you up and take you to a meeting every day. And he came to the convention, man. And he's the leader of our group. You know what I mean? And I got, it's just crazy, man. You know, I believe that God is everywhere. I tell this story all the time about, what, I got 1 minute? I'm going to end with my heart. You know, I believe that people have been trying to sponsor me my whole life, and I just haven't been open to it. My mother told me, don't go down here, don't go down there. I was talking to my daughter when she was 4 years old, 5 years old. We were driving in the car, and I said, girl, because we have a relationship, what's something you don't like about your dad? I never asked that. I mean, how many people ask that kind of question? I ain't putting myself on blast. Tell me something. She said, I just wish you would stop texting while you're driving. They laugh and I'm crying. You know, so you tell me where God is. You tell me where God isn't. You tell me where God is, man. God is everywhere. I am so blessed and so thankful. And I appreciate y'all listening to me.
I'd like to thank Marcus for sharing. Give it up for him.